listening to the You're Smarter Than Us podcast, Asheville's premier soccer podcast.
Hi, everybody. You're here with Chris. I have Ryan Kelly, team president. On our last podcast, we had spoke a little bit about some roster changes in the MPSL that we had seen in the Inter-Nashville game. And he's here to shed a little bit of light about the rules or how that works within the MPSL.
Yeah, hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. We heard about the move same way everybody else did on Twitter last Saturday before the game. And obviously, you know, looked into it with the league. So going in, like, we know that, you know, you can either have professional players or college players. You cannot mix the two. So there are teams in the MPSL that have professional players. Where we were confused was that Inter-Nashville did have college players on their team. So what ended up happening is they had upward of 15 players that with remaining eligibility. And those players were sent home, essentially, to make room for these four USL loan transfers, which within NPSL rules as they stand today is allowed. You know, where our frustration comes in is that we feel that as far as the context of the season, that other, you know, teams in the league have been playing a different international team than we faced on Saturday and that we'll face again here tonight. And we certainly expect and hope to for a different result tonight, and we think that's possible.
So that's really interesting. So basically what they did is, if I'm getting you right, is they released their college players to basically be in guideline with the MPSL in regards to not mixing pro and college.
And it's really not an MPSL guideline. It's just, it's an NCAA guideline in that NCAA players will lose their eligibility if they competed alongside professional players in the same team.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of You're Smarter Than Us. We've got a lot to talk about and, you know, not much time before the next game. Guys, we first want to mention that our women, the Lady Blues, have been, their season has ended. They had a 3-2 loss to Oak City this weekend that knocked them out of playoff contention. They finished the season with 8 wins, 1 loss, and 1 draw, and a plus 29 goal differential. And in the WPSL, in the Carolinas Conference, that is not good enough to make the playoffs. We here at You're Smarter Than Us find this patently ridiculous. We hope to see changes in the future. And we'll do a kind of a women's wrap-up a little bit later on in the week. We really think that team, what they've done for the city, the season they had, how they inspired us, how they excited us, really just kind of deserves an episode unto themselves now that their season's done. But guys, I got Chris with me.
Hey, hey.
Chris, how crazy was Saturday night?
Well, my head is still spinning, I'll just say that. We did the show with Cam on the last pod. We talked about a deep run with the women, and our men's team looked a little dismal. And now here we sit here Monday afternoon, and our women are going home, and our men are in fifth, headed to Nashville to play a playoff game. The NPSL once again delights, awes, surprises, and we're just going with it at this point.
Yeah, guys, let me set the scene for you for Saturday night. So we went into the game on Saturday night needing a win to absolutely make the playoffs. We could draw, but if we drew, we needed Greenville to lose. So all the during the course of these 2 hours, we're playing New Orleans in New Orleans. Greenville is playing Nashville in Nashville. And there's this kind of like dueling Twitter update. A gentleman was actually doing live table updates that Chris and I were kind of shooting back and forth through tech. Things changed very rapidly. The stream in New Orleans was down. We missed the opening goal within about, no joke, 15 seconds later. We equalized. We pulled a second one in. Greenville went up in the third minute. Nashville tied it back up. Greenville went back up by one. Nashville tied it back up. And then in stoppage time, Nashville hit a rocket. They didn't stream the game, but from the Twitter account that I was following, apparently just outside the 18 box that just rifled in, Greenville Twitter went silent. At the end of the day, Asheville wins 2-1, Greenville loses 3-2, and Asheville finishes fifth with Georgia Revolution in sixth Greenville in seventh. So we are going to Nashville tomorrow night, Tuesday night. Kickoff is at 8:30. But Chris, let's take one step back and talk a little bit about what we saw in New Orleans. This was a team that I can honestly say I think they came to Memorial and just absolutely put it on us. We played one good half, and then in the second half, they basically dominated us and beat us 3-1. How can you rectify in your head with the team that we took to New Orleans that we were able to go down there on a pitch that I believe they in three seasons have only lost twice, both of them coming this year. So they've lost three times there this year, but in three seasons, only three times, put it on them and made the playoffs.
It was an unbelievable game. I would just like to give a shout out to the guys, our boys on the field that night. I thought they put everything on the line and played one of the most spirited games. I want to give the coach a really big shout out. I thought Mitch, you know, was a very spirited performance from him as well. He was up, he was yelling instructions, and, you know, we had not seen that at all throughout the season. I've been a little critical of him at times. I think rightfully so. I've given praise rightfully so when needed. But this was just an all-around great performance from the team and the coaching staff. Now, getting back to a little bit of what you said about, you know, how do we do this? How do we go there and play the game that we needed to play of our lives to beat this team? Well, I think there was a little bit of evidence in that in the first game. On the last pod, me and you kind of disagreed a little bit on our last performance against the Jesters at Memorial. I thought we played a great first half, and I thought that that first half could have put us up 2-0 or 3-1 or something like that after the first half. The second half, we lost focus. We've seen that throughout the year, which is a lot different than what we did last year. We lost a little focus, and they took advantage of us, and we didn't end up playing a great game overall. I honestly, like I said, my head is still spinning from that. I'm just going to give all the credit and all the praise to the boys on the field and the performance they put in. I think that's all we can say. They played their hearts out.
Yeah, I'm super impressed. When the starting 11 came out, I sent you a very concerned text because the team that we took down there looked like we had potentially packed it in. Cameron actually was on the bench. He never came in, but he had told us the previous few days that his season had been done, so I was shocked to see him on there. We had two keepers on the bench, which just was super confusing. We took a pair of defenders and a pair of midfielders down there, one of them being a defensive mid. Nafor was the only true striker. We had nobody on the bench. We had Burnmeister front three, but behind them we had our typical, you know, back four. We had our typical midfield. We did play in kind of a 4-3-3 or a 4-1-4-1. It was very flexible. I just can't say enough about that game. Cameron really said it, that was, you know, we had to go down there and play the game of our lives. That's probably the best game for 90-something minutes that I've seen all season from us, and that includes a 3-1 win against Atlanta. That includes a pretty solid performance against Chattanooga, a pretty good first game against Greenville. Just, I am so impressed. I am so happy. I did not expect much out of that game. I especially didn't expect a win. I'm just thrilled. I'm so pleased with what happened. I'm so pleased to have made the playoffs, especially when, you know, you made the fantastic point about, you know, we had three games to either turn it around or three games to make something happen. And, you know, we kind of blew two of them. really capitalizing in that last one in such an emphatic way, I think does so much for the team. I think it does so much for the club in terms of momentum, which I'll always, I know the statistics don't say it's a real thing, but I think psychology, body language, confidence-wise, it really truly is a big thing. And now we go into Nashville, and let's talk about this, Chris. You know, Nashville, they pulled a little trick on us earlier in the season when we went to Nashville. Would you like to kind of remind everybody what they did there?
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of the fans were aware of what went on in that game. And basically, speaking from team president Ryan Kelly, Nashville just completely dropped their roster before the game without any notification, released all of their amateur players, and fully took on a Nashville U.S. team. So when we got there, we had scouted a team, and the team we had scouted, none of them were even on the field. We had no idea who we were playing, and they just basically, they got us. I mean, what was it, 4-1 or something like that?
5-1.
5-1. I was giving us the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, that was a super wonky game. It clearly wasn't what we had prepared for. That was still at a time where I think we were definitely kind of experimenting with our squad. We had Rosenwald up top. We had Andrade and Watt out on the wings. We had Bolin kind of in the midfield. We didn't necessarily play our number one team. N4 wasn't even playing. But, you know, we turned right back around 2 days later, 3 days later. We had Bolin kind of in the midfield. We didn't necessarily play our number one team. N4 wasn't even playing. But, you know, we turned right back around 2 days later, 3 days later, played them again back in Memorial, played a little bit more of a familiar team than Siegfried, obviously. We had a different striker up top. That was Cameron Saul's first game back, and Cameron scored second minute and then, 20th minute or something, and we ended up winning that game 2-0. What, knowing with what apparently we have going forwards, we know we don't know exactly what's going on with Andrade, if he's going to be available, but knowing what we do have available, what do you think we do in Nashville to try to get to Chattanooga on Thursday?
You know, that's going to be a very interesting game because, like you had said, they kind of worked us the first game, and then the next game, we put it on them pretty strong. I don't really know what to expect with that game. The roster, like you had said, we've expected. We kind of looked at that and we're like, oh boy, here we go. But we got it done. And I, at this point, the Cardiac Kids are back, it looks like. And anything past them. I mean, I know that they're going to give it 110% and they're going to leave it on the field. And I think, you know, I think we are going to be looking to Chattanooga. I think we are the better team. From what I saw at Memorial, they didn't even really put up a much of a fight. We dominated them. I know each game in the NPSL, what we've learned from experience can change, but I think at this point we got to feel at least better than we felt going into the New Orleans game because of the results. So I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling very positive about this game, and I really do think the boys are going to get it done.
Compared to how I was feeling going into New Orleans, knowing that, you know, we did hold our own destiny in our own hands, a win put us in the playoffs, and I still kind of doubted things. There is nothing from what I've seen from Nashville, who only one less draw, same amount of losses, I believe. I might have that flip-flopped, one more draw and one less loss. But there's nothing that I've seen from them from the way that they've played other teams and how they've performed against those other teams that makes me think that they're unconquerable, that makes me think there's some sort of behemoth in this division. I fully expect a result. I truly do. I don't know what Greenville ran up against and why they weren't able to get it done. But I would like to think even the team that we put on the pitch against Greenville in Greenville on the 4th of July should be able to go there and get the result. If we pull that off against Nashville, we play Chattanooga on Thursday in Chattanooga. They've been around 9-10 years. This is their 7th division conference championship. What do you kind of, if we get past Nashville, what do you kind of forecast to see for Chattanooga?
Well, let's say if we get past Nashville, we'll be in Chattanooga on Thursday. I think if we can make it there, that's going to be one of those one-off games. Let's be honest, Chattanooga is a very difficult opponent. And even with a man up in Chattanooga, I do believe we only got a result of a draw. And then they beat us at home.
Yeah, we even, it was 0-0 going into half. We were up a man, and they actually ended up scoring first, and we had to come from behind just to get that result.
So we know that they're a very difficult opponent. They have a great fan base. Their fan base will be out in full effect. I had spoke with some management in about getting a bus or a charter fan bus for the Chattanooga game. Now, we don't want to get too far ahead, but there's a chance that, you know, the Blues are going to be making a very big appearance. And is it Finley Stadium is where they play?
Yeah.
They'll be making an appearance in Finley Stadium. And like I said, we know what we're up against there. We're going to need the game of our lives to get past Chattanooga. We are. Are we capable of it? Yes. And I think we're going to see a strong performance. If we get past Internashville, we're going to get a strong performance out of our boys for the Chattanooga game. You guarantee that. Is it going to be enough? Well, the NPSL and the soccer gods will determine that. But, you know, our heads and our hearts of our players are going to be there. And after last game, I really am starting to be a little more confident. I think Mick is very spirited right now, and I think he's feeling this playoff run. I'm confident in our boys to give it 110%. Do we get the result we need? I don't know.
Again, I like our chances against Nashville. Truly, truly do. Chattanooga, I actually am a little excited to see potentially in that second round game as opposed to, or the semifinal as opposed to the final. I think it puts the pressure a little bit more on them and a little bit off us as we're playing with house money at that point. And potentially that means we could be running into Atlanta or New Orleans in the final if we get a result against Chattanooga, neither of which now scare me. We beat Atlanta twice this year, and we've now beat New Orleans once at New Orleans, and we beat Atlanta in Atlanta. So I actually prefer this Chattanooga game as a semifinal as opposed to the final. Chris, any last comments, thoughts?
Like I said, my head is still spinning after this weekend. My heart really goes out for the women's team. That was a real heartbreaker there. I just give it 100% trust in our coaching staff and our team to get a result in Internashville. And Godspeed. Here we go. Let's go Blues.
Guys, the Cardiac Kids are back. Kickoff tomorrow night, Tuesday night, is at 8:30. There is an enterprising individual from Asheville who is going over there, whether they're, I'm assuming they're sponsored by the club, but they will actually be streaming this game. There's a watch party at Highwire, the Big Top. If not, try to catch it online. I believe it'll be on the YouTube page. Chris, thanks for hopping on with me, and vaya con Dios.
You've been listening to the You're Smarter Than Us podcast, a proud member of the Soccer and Sweet Tea Network. Thank you to Audionautix for our music, and find us on social media at your_smarter on Twitter and at your_smarter_than_us@gmail.com.